Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Whole Scoop Radio with your host, Carol Ferraci, your health and wellness resource, where you get the whole scoop and nothing but the scoop.
Hey, 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 we are back. We are back for a whole new year, and welcome, everybody. I am Carol Ferraci, your host, registered licensed dietitian, and founder of Naturally Nutrition. You can find me at Naturally Nutrition, Inc. We are the Whole Scoop Health and Wellness Radio Show, where our guests are always highly credentialed in the topics that we discuss. And it's just essential that they be that way, because it's my goal to bring to you highly credentialed people so you get the right scoop. Tonight's show is Your Heart Holds the Key to our Ultimate Well-Being. And I know it sounds a little bit ambiguous. What does that mean? What are we talking about? But just wait, because the guest that we have tonight is absolutely fabulous. We'll get into that in just a second. But, of course, I'm going to do the business. If you've listened to us, welcome back. Happy New Year. And if you haven't heard us before and this is just something that intrigues you, welcome. And know that we're a full-service health and wellness. So we will talk about anything that has to do with your well-being, both from a health perspective, or be it traditional, non-traditional, or anything in between, as long as our guests are credentialed and they can bring us good, sound information and advice. But that being said, while they are highly credentialed and on all topics of discussion, we recommend that you seek medical advice prior to implementing any and all interventions discussed on this program. You can call in and listen at 347-855-8894. You can listen live on the Blog Talk Radio page, which some of you are doing right now. And you can also direct questions and comments to our Facebook, The Whole Scoop Blog Talk Radio group page. We have a website, thewholescoopradio.com, where you'll find more information about our guests. Again, that call-in number is 347-855-8894. And if you know, we will take possibly some questions tonight, so it's going to be a little different. We'll see how that goes. We have some very cool things planned. But when we get into questions, if you want to ask a question, remember to push the number 1 to get in the queue so that I know that you are wanting to ask a question, and I will call out the last 4 digits of your phone number so you know that it's you about to be on the air with us. All that being said, who do we have tonight? We have Kamari. Yeah, we do. She's back. I'm excited. She's kicking off the new year with us, and she's just fabulous. She's always fabulous. She's amazing. But I got to tell you what she did. She's always so prepared. If you've heard Kamari before, you just can't get enough of what she has to say. But amazingly, she sent me a new bio, and it's like so short. I'm going to read this to you, but then I'm going to add a few things too, because I'm just going to do it. She is an internationally acclaimed spiritual teacher, intuitive coach, Reiki master, and best-selling author. Kamari was a civil rights attorney when her father died of cancer, inspiring her to master energy medicine. Kamari is hosting an upcoming TV show called Bliss on the Divine Spirit Network, and you can find her at www.kamarihealing.com. That was what she sent to me. This is what I'm going to tell you. She has done a plethora of different things. She is just phenomenal. If you've ever had the chance to listen to her, you should just grab the opportunity. If you get to see her, even better. And I'm gonna use her words back at her before she gets back on, because this was part of her old bio that fits her so well. She transmits a powerful, loving, energetic presence where healing shifts occur spontaneously and the light and wisdom of the soul is unveiled. That's absolutely true about her. He teaches with a practicality and playfulness that is disarmingly potent, fully anchored in the knowing that everyone can awaken to their divine nature and spiritual healing gifts. Don't ever forget that about Kamari, because I'm telling you, she's the real deal. She's also my friend, and I'm so honored to have her tonight and to kick off this new year with her. So let's say hello, Kamari.
Carol, thank you so much. I like the short version. Everything's getting shorter. The older I get, the shorter it all needs to get. But thank you.
I'd like to be a little more there.
Thanks. Oh, Lordy. So,
anyway,
what do you want to talk about?
Talking about the heart tonight.
We're talking about the heart.
Yeah.
It's always about the heart, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Always. The cool part that I wanted to share was the science that is backing up what I have known all these years about the heart. So I wanted to plug that in. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
Go for it.
Because, you know, for years, I trusted my heart long before that was fashionable or scientifically proven to give great results. and I believe in all of us there's a knowing when the heart speaks. The challenge is listening and then following, you know. But I think somewhere deep inside all of us, no matter what our backgrounds, we all have a language of the heart. You know, we talk about speaking from the heart or living from the heart, thinking from the heart even, as being an elevated awareness or a higher consciousness. And so what was really cool was back in 1981, a pioneer neurocardiologist, a doctor by the name of Andrew Armour, coined the term heart-brain. He said that the heart possessed a complex and intrinsic nervous system that is a second brain. Is that cool or what?
the heart is not just
this pump. We always thought of it, you know, the heart's the pump, right? It's all about the cardiovascular pump, and that's its function. But it has this whole other dynamic role in the mind-body. And in fact, he said the heart possessed a complex and intrinsic nervous system. It sends us emotional and intuitive signals to help govern our lives. The heart directs and aligns many systems in the body so they can function in harmony with one another. What they're calling coherence, I always called it alignment, same idea. The heart's in constant communication with the brain. The heart's intrinsic brain and nervous system relay information back to the brain in the cranium, creating this two-way communication system. Isn't that cool?
I have experienced
that. I have literally felt it. I'm an empath. I'm highly intuitive. I have felt this. I teach people. I take them into that space. But I love when the science lines up with what I know at my deepest core and what I've been teaching for 28 years. That's always really cool, too. It helps us make many decisions from a higher perspective. It also is the first thing in a fetus that develops way before the brain. The heart is beating. I thought that was sort of cool in terms of its precedence. Humans form an emotional brain long before a rational one. You know, Western culture has developed this fascination with the rational mind, right? We've elevated that above all else. And, of course, that's all falling apart, but because it's not working so well to rely just on the rational brain, which processes things based on our past history. Well, this is what we know from the past, therefore that's what we should follow. Not working so well, is it?
Really?
So, anyway, I thought that was some really cool bullet points on the new science. The heart has its own independent complex nervous system. So, HeartMath Institute got a hold of this research, and it's a fabulous resource for much of this that I'm sharing with you in way more detail than I can get on this call. But I wanted to just point to the fact that there is plenty of research on the heart-brain, or what they're now calling heart intelligence. And I remember years ago I wrote a contemplation for my students, and the question was, do you believe it's impossible to live 100% from your intuition?
I have to cut you short for a second. I'm having technical difficulty tonight, and I'm going to have to call back a different number. So I want you to just continue talking, and I'm going to call back in on a different number. Okay?
Okay.
So you go ahead.
Fine. So the I can talk forever if you let me. So this idea of the heart intelligence guiding our lives, I believed, well, I was living it. I have been living it for many, many years. I began listening to my heart first very sporadically in meditation. I was taught by an amazing spiritual teacher how to get in the heart space in meditation and quieting the mind. And we will do an exercise to do that. Don't worry. We're going to get into it, the practical application of all this information and the healing and releasing as well. But the fact that that was happening sporadically fabulous. So I was just saying how I learned in meditation to quiet the mind and get into the heart space, but it was very sporadic at that time, the information and the trusting of that information. It took me years to get to a place where I was living from that information in a very coherent way. And I can now attest that I make every decision from the heart intelligence and heart intuition. So it is possible. It may take some efforting, however, some assembly required to get into that alignment, coherence, and then also to allow the ego to step back from what we've always, you know, all the habits and the patterns that we've developed, and really to make new choices, new informed.
Well, you're asking people to do a mind shift as well, because it's not how we think. It's just not what we know to being, you know. So that in itself is gonna.
It takes time to trust it, you know. It takes experience to say, well, I did this based on what I felt, and you know, I told that person I love them. It didn't turn out so well. They laughed in my face, you know. We all have a few experiences of trusting our emotions or say speaking from the heart, and it not going well. And so that's built up. Well, the second thing I wanted to talk about, which is what prevents us from getting into that coherence, that alignment, and then trusting that space that we're developing. And it's a tender space, you know. It's the heart is the seat of all of our emotions, not just our intuition and wisdom. It's also the feeling center, which I believe is greatly underused because of the negative feeling. You know, we've all been hurt, and it doesn't feel good. Sometimes it's really painful, seriously damaging. And so we choose to move out of the heart space, even if we were there when we were a child. We move out of it into rational mind because that's how our culture and the West has taught us, but also because we have some landmines in the heart, you know, from past hurts. And to open that space back up, we actually have to clear and heal the landmines. And so one of my spiritual teachers said, one of her courses was titled, Take a Broom and Sweep Out Your Heart, you know, from all the garbage that is collected there. So that's the work of it. You know, that's the efforting. It's not just, oh, wouldn't it be lovely to live from this place? Well, yes, but it takes practice. It takes some willingness and trust, and it takes clearing the old residue, which is painful, and getting it out of that space so that we can begin to really open it up again and not feel so, I mean, sometimes literally people, when they first open the heart space, they feel like they're having a heart attack. There is so much pain encrusted around it from that shut down place, that the opening is like cracking something open, and it's kind of not so friendly at first. But that's like a seed, you know, coming out of the new soil in the frozen ground. It can be a bit painful. So people move away from it, from that experience as well. Well, when I go there, it doesn't feel so good because we have all this old hurt and old painful energy in the form of our thoughts, our beliefs, our painful situations, and it's kind of sitting there until we release it. And that's the second thing, or the third thing, we haven't been taught how to release it. How do you get rid of the old garbage? You know, which is really most of the work I do with people, is teaching them how to, many, many, many techniques, how to do that. And sometimes you need two or three or four. Sometimes it's a four-technique day, because one, two, and three are just paving the way, you know, because some
right.
of that stuff is it's been, you know, embedded in concrete. So negative emotions like insecurity, anger, fear, blame, they definitely create out-of-balance nervous system. And when that happens, our heart rhythms, you know, coming back to the physical heart, it becomes disordered and jagged, and you can literally see that on a heart monitor. And the opposite, oh, well, this, of course, places stress on the physical heart, right, and other
yeah.
organs. And we talked about the heart being the key to well-being. It's because all these old negative emotions that we haven't learned how to release yet, they place, or that we're constantly recreating, perhaps, they threaten your health. They definitely create physical outcropping.
So let's talk about that. I mean, let's give some tangible examples of why this is important to know. Because, you know, like I said earlier, it's a mind shift to think this way. So if
mm-hmm.
we give some tangible examples as to how this really does come together and why what you're saying is real. You already talked about the science, so we know that the science is there, and we already know that other people have studied and you know, the research is there. But let's talk about the practicality of it. And what have you found with, you know, can you just maybe give us a couple of examples?
I can tell you something happened to me just yesterday.
Okay,
right off the top of my head, because it's still happening. It's not like I'm immune to this process, you know. I just have more tools in my toolbox than the average person. So my spouse and I was asked to help him over the phone deal with his iPhone, which is new, and which he constantly gets frustrated by. And he was trying to open a coupon while he was at Home Depot, just to get into the details, and technology freaks him out, and he does not like to feel like he can't do something. He's a very can-do guy, and I'm happen to be the one who's trying to help him over the phone figure out this new app to get this coupon. And the more I kept telling him to do something and it wasn't working, the more stressed out he got, and he started getting angry at me, who was trying to help him, and I thought that was highly unfair, you know.
Mm-hmm,
and then
right.
I got angry back because he's kind of dumping on me his stress and anger. I'm like, I took time out to help you, you know. So that threw me off. We haven't had something like that happen in a while. But it was an old pattern between us. He was too stressed, too many things going on, and he let it come out in his emotions and kind of blamed
mm-hmm.
me, who was the person who was helping him. So it was just this old pattern, and I was like, oh, God, you know, we used to do this to each other all the time. And then I would get short and frustrated, and we both got in it. You know, we both got upset. I got off the phone,
mm-hmm.
and my back went out.
Oh, wow.
So I did heal. I have back issues, but I'm on top of them, and I haven't had issues in a year. And I didn't do anything.
Wow.
But emotionally,
wow.
I was upset, and I was feeling hurt and attacked and unsupported. Back represents
mm-hmm.
support. So that's my weak spot immediately. Now, did I go run to the chiropractor to heal my back? Not for. I would have eventually if I didn't move it. But I dealt with the emotion, and guess where it was? It was in my heart, in my chest. I had a lump, like a fist in my chest. And I immediately did some healing on that. And I had to do it throughout the day because I was really frustrated. I was like, he should know better. He's, you know, we've been through this. And it didn't help. He was just where he was, and he wasn't able to shift it. He was too stressed. So I couldn't even talk to him for another day because it was he just was so sure that whatever he was doing was righteous and I was the one. Anyway, you know, there was no rational mind communication at all. And I had to sit with this upset until he was calm enough for us to work it through. But in the meantime, I had this lump on my heart, like an elephant sitting on my chest. And I'm sure everybody has felt that. All my clients have felt that. As a matter of fact, in every healing session, when I would start doing Reiki, energy healing called Reiki, guess where the first place I would feel was? Everybody's heart space was heavy because it's the feeling center. It's been cluttered up with all kinds of layers of hurt, unexpressed emotions, feelings that we can't deal with. You know, it's just how we do it, human, in the West, because we've never been taught how to process emotions from a higher place, how to express and take care of emotions. So, anyway, that was my. So is my back fine? My back's fine, but I didn't treat my back. You know, it wasn't a back issue.
Right.
It was a feeling unsupported right. issue, and it was located. The energy was located as a heaviness in my heart. Isn't that interesting? People,
that,
you know, the way
yeah,
Western medicine goes, they want to always go to where the symptom is popping out, but almost always the core. I think in mind-body. The mind-body connection, Dr. Sarno's book, Mind-Body Prescription. Years ago, he finally put, I think I've mentioned him before, because he was the first MD to talk about what I was experiencing as a healer, that somewhere in the low 90% of all the people he dealt with back problems, when they dealt with the emotions underlying it, their back problems were healed. And then he went on to study things like cancer and chronic fatigue and other things. But he was a back surgeon, so that's the first thing he chronicled. 90-some
wow.
percent. I would say in my energy healing practice, that is the case. When I can help somebody get to a core emotional place where they haven't been able to release and heal something significant, it unravels all kinds of physical issues, mental health issues, even financial issues, because it's all tied back to this flow, this coherence, this alignment. You know, when you are in flow, how everything, cars get out of your way, people let you in line ahead of that. You know, when you're in that really what we call the zone or the flow, all sorts of magic happens, because they say as the heart comes into coherence with the rest of the nervous system and the brain, that creates an electromagnetic field. When we come into emotional integrity and heart intelligence and coherence, it literally sends a signal out from our heart, a magnetic, that coherent harmony and love and balance, that also changes. So positive emotions, by contrast to negative emotions, increase order and balance in the nervous system, and they produce smooth, harmonious heart rhythms, not just in our body, but literally in our field. So another, this is like off-the-charts example. I was going to give you one more example with an animal. If you have trouble, I mean, my example is pretty, like, ordinary in a sense, meaning I've worked with many, many hundreds of clients. Healing an emotional issue would heal a physical issue. But how about an animal? So I'm working with
right.
an animal who was really upset. It happened to be a mountain lion. And she started starving herself after coming to this facility that I had worked with, a beautiful sanctuary. She had been in a horrible sanctuary and abandoned by her humans early on. So she just thought all humans suck, you know. She just had a really bad track
right.
record. And she gave up and was on a hunger strike literally for 8 days, stopped eating and drinking. And she was on her, and the woman was calling me to say, you know, does she want to die? Because I don't want to keep trying to treat her and give her IV fluids and if she wants out of here.
Right.
She was so depressed and so heartbroken, literally, that was the word that came up, that she had given up on life and on humans and on anybody ever being kind to her again. She didn't understand what happened. you know, she was a kitten. They loved her. She got to be a 200-pound mountain lion, and all of a sudden she ends up in a cage, abandoned by her family, and it literally broke her. And I have found that to be true with animals that had known human love, and then especially wild animals, they get too big or too scary, they get abandoned. And she just felt like totally abandoned. And I used the same principles. I got in my own heart space. I could feel her pain, but I was able to expand the love. And I literally felt like I was the cosmic heart. I was able to hold her pain, but I was so big and expanded. And there was so much love flowing, understanding, compassion, and even detachment if she really did want to go. But I wanted her to understand her choices, that she had landed in a really special place and that not all humans were that bad. And I literally held this space I can only describe as I became the cosmic heart, and she started healing. And I asked her to start eating as a sign that she wanted to stay. And literally the woman was in the enclosure with her, and she was considered quite dangerous. She had attacked people. And for 2.5 hours, I was in that heart coherence place with her, in this expanded love place, until she began to see another alternative. But I had to be with her pain. I had to be with her abandonment, you know, and I didn't shy away from it. I held a container that was bigger than that, and it felt like it was like a drop of acid in the ocean of love. That's what I felt like I was able to do for her. It was exquisite. And so this place I'm speaking of awes me. You know, I can talk about it from a science place, but we're talking about the spiritual heart here, the energetic heart, and it's really unlimited, infinitely aware and compassionate and loving, and from that all healing takes place.
So essentially, this kind of any type of imbalance, pain of any sort, are you saying that we should look to the heart first as to what might be happening emotionally before we maybe jump into pills or something?
It's a good plan to ask. Well, I wanted to take you through a couple steps of a meditative exercise to help give you some steps to get into that space, because just saying it is not the same as doing it. But yes, I would say ask, is there an unexpressed or unfelt emotion that is at the core of what's happening now? Is there something that I need to fully feel and release and or express, and or all three, in order to heal this? And what Dr. Sarno found with all his back patients was when they were able to do that, express the unexpressed emotions, the things they were afraid to talk about, or the uncomfortable feelings that they were afraid to feel, and so they kind of blocked the feeling process. When they were able to process that, maybe as an adult, maybe as a kid it was too overwhelming, but as an adult they could process it differently. And like you said, about 92% of his back patients healed their back, no matter what their x-rays look like, no matter what their diagnoses were. So I would say it's a good bet, you know, that there's very little that comes up that doesn't have a significant emotional component to it for healing the body. Which is not to say diet, nutrition, exercise, coming into balance is not beneficial. But
when you're finding that those things don't
work, it's usually this.
No. If you look at it from your perspective, then those things are supportive. And then they can work
because there's nothing else. Yeah.
Because what you're talking about is core. And if you go off the premise of what you're saying is core to what's actually happening, and then you support it nutritionally, you support it emotionally, you support it, you know, in other ways, then healing begins because you've actually started, you know, going for the core, which is something that, you know, holistically we talk about all the time. We talk about, you know, getting to the core of the issue, working the whole body, the mind body, the of that connection. Look at, you know, but if you take it from this particular perspective and you start with emotions, and if there's a true direct connection, I mean, this is absolutely huge. I mean, if there's a direct connection with the brain, and what about the people who have inadvertently shut down their brains, not necessarily by choice, but, you know, through process, and so they're not able, you know, or are they? Are they communicating through the heart? Do we know this? And you know, should we be looking in a different place for things? You know, like,
Some of the research is indicating that the heart is actually more often the command center than the rational brain, the actual brain. That when they study where the signals are coming from, more of it seems to be initiated from the heart than the other way around, which is kind of flipping so many models, you know, upside down. It's a very different way of seeing.
Right. And so how long do you think before anybody in the mainstream would even entertain this idea? You know, because why I say that and why I bring it up that way is because for people listening, you might be hearing this for the first time, you don't really know, or you think you don't know what we're talking about, but you can feel it, because what Kumari is talking about, and she's giving tangible examples to every one of us can relate in some fashion to our own lives and come up with our own examples. And it's about whether or not you're willing to kind of open up and be that particular person and say, okay, yeah, maybe that's what this is about, which is why we do this show, because it enlightens. That all being said, there are so many avenues to this, and then people get excited and they go, hey, you know, I know that if I start, or I feel if I start working on my emotions and get to the core, I'm going to feel better physically. And then they're immediately shot down by somebody traditionally that says, oh, that's crap, you know. Mm-hmm. And so talk to those people, Kumari. Talk to them about how to persevere and to maintain in a world that will not always accept what they might be feeling or thinking or doing, as a direct result of information that is new and enlightening.
Do you remember Michael Crichton, Jurassic Park producer? He's produced many shows.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
You know, before he was in movies, he was a heart surgeon. He was a Harvard.
No, I didn't know that.
Harvard. Yeah, he was an MD, and he decided to interview while he was doing his clinic rounds in cardiology. He interviewed everybody who had a heart attack. He just thought, I'm going to apply, you know, what I've learned in med school, and I'll start asking questions. Things that weren't on the paperwork, because they had a heart attack. They didn't have time to really get to know the people and find out what was going on. And he said, without exception, every single person said they knew why they had a heart attack when asked the question, why. Not when told your heart has clogged arteries or you had this. They said, well, my wife just told me she wanted a divorce. I just got laid off from work. They each had a trauma, something that if you just asked them the question, they actually knew it, but nobody was asking the question.
Right, so nobody was asking the question, and that's my point.
No one was asking the question that way. So people actually did know what was going on in their life that created this breakdown, you know, this massive breakdown.
Wow.
And they made the connection themselves. They didn't need to be taught. They just needed to be asked. You know, what do you attribute this to? What's going on? And he got so frustrated that the doctors at the time or his teachers wouldn't entertain that information that he quit. and made movies. That, you know, just I would say just keep on keeping on. There's a growing number of MDs and holistic practitioners who are linking it all up. Like I said, HeartMath was a great resource. Greg Braden, mm-hmm. you know, doing the mind-body-spirit connection and the heart-brain connection, talking about heart intelligence and the role of emotions, why meditation works, you know, all of these things that spiritual people were doing, but the why of it, the science behind why it's working. There's a lot of that if you look for it. And you have to be willing to let go of practitioners who won't help you or entertain that or make you feel stupid. I mean, we had a cardiologist, when we researched a drug effect, side effect, we Googled it. You know, we went in with, oh, many people are feeling numbness and tingling. Kumar was having that from a blood pressure med. And mm-hmm. and the cardiologist point blank said, oh, my God, don't Google anything. You can't trust Google. We fired him, you know?
Yep.
Many people were saying exactly what was happening, and he didn't want to acknowledge that. So I thought, well, next. I think we have to feel empowered.
No,
That we'll find people who will have this conversation with us a bit more. Maybe not all the bells and whistles, you know, of it. We might have to find a team. But if we totally get shut down, I would say fire that person and find a new one who's willing to not see your body as a bunch of parts, separate mechanical parts, but to see the links between the whole. And the whole includes the emotional body and the mental body, for sure. And there's plenty of science to back that up, and there's plenty of medical science to back it up now. So there's way more than when I started 28 years ago, where there was nothing, nothing to lean on.
Well, yeah, and so that's absolutely sage advice, because people need to hear, and I want people to hear that it's okay to move on from somebody that's
mm-hmm.
blocking you. And if it's your doctor and your doctor's blocking you and saying not believing what you're feeling, what you know to be true about you, you need to find somebody that's going to listen to you and that's going to, you know, and maybe they won't believe it at first, but at least they'll listen to you, and at least
they won't poo-poo it as outright, you know, unrelevant information. They might say it's not relevant in the way that they're thinking about the care. But, yeah, you want somebody who doesn't make you feel shut down, who gives you some time to link up what's happening in your life to your health. There are many, many clues going on that if they would take the time to listen, they could really be a much better health advocate for you. But, yeah.
Right. And it's true about all of us. And, you know, I think in today's world, it's even more difficult because we're all so inundated with stuff and things to do and places to be and obligations to meet that it's overwhelming. And so sometimes we don't have time to stop and feel what we're really feeling or think about what we're really feeling as to, you know, if we start having an ache or a pain or whatever, we don't really give ourselves the time that's necessary to just say, hey, what brought this on? Or we might do the flash thought kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably because I'm feeling crap because of something else. And then just blow it off and move on, and the pain's still there, and it gets worse, and something else happens, and then it's chronic, and then, you know, it just kind of snowballs. And it all stemmed from something that we decided to blow off and gave a flash thought to.
That's one of the problems, that we have to overcome, or one of the changes, I should say, that we need to commit to making, which is giving ourselves that self-awareness time, giving a little more space to our emotional well-being and the signals that, I've been able to turn flus around, you know, in the moment when I had full-blown flu by paying attention
to
what that was trying to teach me. And in the moment, the teaching was I needed rest and I needed to call in the morning and take off from work at the time, just half a day. But I was scared. I was scared to ask for that if I wasn't deathly ill, you know. And so my body was was making that happen for me. Oh, you need to be deathly ill here. We'll give you a full-blown, you know, no voice,
right.
cough. Nobody will want you.
Right.
And the
right.
minute I agreed that I would take the time off, every single symptom instantaneously disappeared because I listened
wow.
to the deeper messaging of what my body needed, which was a bit of rest, or else it was going to take me out for a week, you know. That's
yep.
what's possible, but you're right. I needed to commit to listening and then taking, and then I wanted to, I was like, oh, I feel better. Maybe I don't have to take off and deal with my boss. And
right. Exactly.
I had to take aligned
right.
action. You know, I had to be in alignment with my agreements and that intuitive inspiration of what made me well and spontaneously well. I had to follow through. So, yes, that is the commitment and the change that we all have to begin to make, or else it's just we're just spitting in the wind with all this information, you know, if we don't make any change
right.
to actually get into the space and acknowledge the feelings and then do something differently, which is why I wanted to give an
right.
experience, a meditation, because a lot of people
okay. I just kind of wanted to open it up a little bit more to say, you know, this is why we're talking about this. This is what actually brings this into focus. So when you do the meditation, then, you know, people can actually start to, it's my hope that they can start
mm-hmm.
to tune in to what might be happening. Because the other thing that you said in just all of that just now, and it's kind of a little bit of a catchphrase for you, emotions lead actions.
Yes, I call it taking a line. Once we get the information, the intuitive intelligence becomes apparent,
mm-hmm.
then we have to take aligned action on them. Or mm-hmm. else it's just another piece of information, but we're not putting it into play, you know. So we're not living
it
with that information. So.
But for me, it's even more than that because, I mean, it's not more than that. It's actually before all of that, before you become aware, before you become enlightened to be aligned. If we're having an issue and
mm-hmm.
and we know that, you know, and we have some emotions going on that are just, you know, unbearable at some point or we're
yeah.
just trying to shove them down and not really acknowledge them, we tend to perform actions either all around those emotions or because of those emotions, and we're not even consciously aware of it. So we might, you know, we might get snappy, we might get, you know, mean or nasty, or we might
mm-hmm.
quit our jobs, or we might, you know, do... And it's all because there's an emotion that's at the core that we haven't acknowledged and we can't seem to get out of our own way. So when we do that and we go back and look at the actions and we attach them to those emotions, then we can move forward to where you are, you know. And it's like, it's interesting if you think about it from that perspective, because we can all say we've done it. In fact, I have a friend right now who, as of today, quit her job. And she quit because emotionally it was killing her. And she basically just said, you know what, can't do this anymore. She and the one person that with whom she was working and with whom she signed on to work with initially, she felt betrayed, and she was
yeah.
betrayed. So
and that can
like,
be a
okay,
totally
so
healthy response. Quitting isn't always a failure. Sometimes it's actually a healthy response to a situation, you know, getting out of it.
Right. I talked to her about that this afternoon, saying, you know, sometimes it's a good thing because sometimes you need a brick to fall on your head to make
yeah.
a move that's going to be healthy for you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not just one way. Being intuitive and being clear in your emotion, I mean, that's really the next level, is clearing out the old emotions so that when you are feeling something in the present time, it's a clear, clean emotion versus one that's based on a lot of layers from the past, you know, so it
right.
It's not a clear emotion, meaning it's muddied from past experience, which may have nothing to do with what's happening now, but we're carrying it all over. So there's no one way to respond, you know, to anything. The trick is to clear out the old so that you can begin to trust your feelings again. You can begin to have clear emotional signals, and they can lead you to harmonious, abundant, happy lives versus just reenacting the same old dramas, you know, which is
which is what we tend to do. We tend to just reenact
the
same drama over and over and over again. It's kind of like we live a Groundhog Day, which is why Groundhog Day was so phenomenal, because we are creatures of habit. We do the same things over and over again. And
expect different results. Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's true. We have to change the core, the foundational core. So I don't know how our time is, but I would love to share how to do that. And maybe one more success story if we're ready for that. This leads into the meditation.
Yeah,
is that good?
Go ahead.
Okay. So I just got this on the new year from a client who's been working with me, not privately, but just taking classes diligently over the past year and a half, 2 years. And she came to animal communication first. That was her big dream. She loves animals, and she wanted to be able to work with them intuitively and heal them. And she continued on with a bunch of courses, but was having absolutely no intuitive luck. She felt completely unsuccessful. She couldn't find any client. Nothing was working. Not only that, when she came to me, her husband had lost his job, I believe. So the financial fears were huge. So every aspect of her life, she was feeling like a failure. She said she was angry. She was going from doubt, fear, anger, and really not liking herself, having no financial security, no clients. And then this year, she said everything started shifting. She has now paying animal communication clients. She feels totally abundant. She trusts that she'll always have financial flow from a place of total fear. And I asked her, her intuition's opened up, her results. And I've actually heard from her clients that she's doing phenomenal work. So I asked her to really tell me, how did this happen? You know, because she's not a private client, so I wasn't getting all the feedback along the way, although I knew how stuck she was and frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
She said, well, I took everything you offered. You know, I just kept applying myself, doing the practices that you taught me. And I started feeling, for the first time ever, self-love. She said, I have never had any love toward myself. And this is significant because I want to do this in the meditation as well. Because it can be a practice that we start to apply, literally. And then she said, I noticed that as I began to like and love myself a little bit more, everything opened up. My intuition opened up. I had financial flow. I got client results, the animals were healing, everything happened. And I would say that's pretty much the order of things. When we can tap back into that heart love, the deepest place in us that is always associated with feelings of love and compassion, wisdom, courage, all the good things that we long for, then everything in our life starts organizing around that. It's really phenomenal. So, yeah, I was really blown away, and I cried actually when I read what was happening for her, and how tremendous the transformation was, because I knew when she came in how everything was stuck, every part of her life was stuck. So this work isn't just about healing the body, which we focus on, but it's literally getting in the flow, which creates all sorts of positive results around you as well, including attracting finances, because when we're angry and we don't like ourselves, we're not really attracting money and clients. You know, it's in that space of happiness that all the good things start, the higher vibration, the positive vibration stuff starts coming into our world. So I wanted to share a heart healing meditation that would begin to get us into coherence and alignment that we talked about with the heart and the mind, and release some of the baggage and then reattune to love. How would that be?
That would be fabulous. That would be so, so appreciated, I'm sure. So let's do it.
All right. So first things first, I want you to just simply touch your heart. You can do this with one hand if you're listening on the phone. You can take both hands, which I have now. Or you can come into prayer position where the thumbs are gently touching the heart space, because our awareness follows the touch. And then consciously breathe as if you're literally able to breathe in and out of the heart space. You want to close your eyes now. It helps you to focus. The focus is really essential here, because as you focus, the alignment and coherence begins to happen. So now you're focusing on the heart space, and you're beginning to breathe in and out of the heart at a little bit slower pace. And this slower breath triggers the sensation of feeling safe, because when we're safe, what happens? We're relaxed. We're breathing deeper. So you can literally convince the mind-body that you're safe by slowing the breath. And I like to breathe visually in and out of the heart, both the front and the back, as if there was a funnel expanding from the chest, both breathing out the front part of the funnel, which represents the heart center or heart chakra, the energetic heart, but also the back. A lot of times we ignore what we stuff in the backside. So bring that beautiful breath deeply in and out of the heart. Instead of the nose, you just picture it entering and exiting your chest, slowing it down. This already brings you into coherence and alignment. The heart and the brain are starting to come into coherence. The nervous system is balancing and relaxing. Now, we're going to use our mind consciously to release, and we're going to use the image of a rose because it's the highest frequency on the planet, rose oil is. And we're going to make the intention, we're going to use that beautiful, brilliant mind to choose conscious release, something we were never taught. I consciously release any energies that are no longer serving my highest well-being now. Energies meaning thoughts, concepts, beliefs, emotions. So let's all say that together. I release any energies that are no longer serving my highest well-being now. And breathe. That's your conscious new thought. And we're going to take the beautiful image of a rose, a long stem rose. Place that image right in front of the heart space, right out in front of you. Make it any color you like. And command the rose. You don't do anything. You're still breathing in and out of the heart. But command the rose through your intention, because energy follows intention, to collect up any of those old beliefs, thoughts, patterns, energies from the negative spectrum, things that are bogging you down, clogging up your beautiful, brilliant heart space, causing you pain, discomfort, lack of clarity, confusion. Just allow that rose to start collecting up all of those thoughts and energies. You don't have to do it. You just need to command it, intend it. And you may get a sensation as you're tuning into the heart space, tuning into your feeling center, when that rose is done. Maybe it was in motion. You got a glimpse of it moving, swirling. Sometimes I see it like a candy, cotton candy, swirling up clouds of energy. When you're feeling like you're complete, send that rose with all that old stuck energy that you no longer want, it's no longer serving you, right into the sun. Out of your field, out of your space and place, to be transmuted, turned back into light. You no longer need to worry about it. Released from your space and place fully. And breathe. And now we consciously add the element of love, because this is the most profound healing element. This energy and emotion of love, especially love towards self. Start with a little smile. That Mona Lisa smile, it actually activates a happy thought in the brain. We're talking about heart-brain coherence here. You can trick the brain. If you're not feeling happy, just smile anyway. Fake it till you make it. And then think the thought, I like me. If you can't quite get to love, I like me. Because I can. Right now, I can choose this thought that will become my truth, in this moment anyway, I like me. I can choose this thought right here, right now. If you're having trouble with that, think of something you do like. Think of someone or something you do love, a beautiful sunset or sunrise, a puppy. Puppies are very good for getting the love vibe going. A child. If it has to be outside of yourself to get it going, that's okay. Just think of that long enough until you start feeling the emotion, the happy, loving, kind emotion. Generating that happy, loving, kind emotion within your own being is part of the healing. And you may find some parts of you clearing, like the throat chakra, which I feel as well. Stuck energy moving through. If negative thoughts arise as you're trying to generate some loving thoughts towards self in the heart space, allow them. Don't shove them away. If you think, I'm too angry at myself right now, I feel like a failure, then change the thought to, even though I feel angry, I deserve more love, not less. They're not mutually exclusive. Even though I feel like a failure in some aspects of my life or all of my life, I deserve more love, not less. Even though I have so little energy, I feel so sick, I deserve more love, not less. So work with whatever comes up and still choose that you deserve more love. There's no reason that it can't both be true. Until you start turning that thought that it has to be one or the other. I'm angry, therefore I'm not lovable. I feel like I've made so many mistakes, therefore I'm not lovable. Not true. I like me because right here, right now, I can. And breathe and allow that feeling of I'm pleased with myself. If you can't get to love, just start with, I'm pleased with myself because I got on this radio show to get some help, to learn something new. I'm pleased with myself. Allow that emotion to expand. Feed it with your focus. And notice how you feel. You might feel more relaxed here. You might feel a little lighter. You might feel that your mind is finally quieting. Just notice the results. You might feel like an emotion came up, something that might need to be given a little attention to. You might need to understand something you were repressing or holding on to. It's all good in this space. Allow that feeling of self-love to expand. Allow that slowing down of the breath to make the nervous system calm, to make you feel so safe. And allow yourself to re-choose how you feel now from the conscious you. I like me because I can, right here, right now. And breathe. Fabulous. That's a good place to start, don't you think?
That was fabulous. God, I feel so much better. Amazing.
What did you notice?
Thank you so very much. Thank you. Thank you. You know, just a bonus from Kamari for sure. Absolutely. Thank you.
Very, very welcome.
we are so grateful, honestly. What a way to start out the new year. Nice.
I thought so.
Thank you.
I thought that'd be fun.
Great. Wow. I think it's fabulous. I hope everybody, you know, just takes this and continues to just grow with it, because it's good stuff. Thank you, Kamari.
Very welcome. Do I have an opportunity to tell them if they want to do whatever the next step might be with me? It kind of ties in here beautifully for the new year and for healing. I am doing a monthly meditation, both in person in Sebastian at my home, which we now call Aruna. And my theme for this year actually is regeneration. I really want to go deeper into healing myself and my husband. You know, we have, as we are growing up, we have health issues always cropping up. So I want to dive into this regenerative essence. And so that is the theme of the meditation this Sunday. So we're going to really activate the body, the cellular ability to we have incredible ability to regenerate from within. I think we're recreating lungs every 3 weeks. I mean, there's some fabulous details on this, which I'll get into more in the meditation. So it's this Sunday from 1 to 2:30 Eastern Time. It's also live stream. If you can't make it in person, there's that option as well. And because I wanted to make these meditations available to everybody, it's offered on a love offering of any amount, any donation. So that is available on my site, kamarihealing.com/Aruna. That's kamarihealing.com/Aruna this Sunday, and it is the second Sunday of every month, but this one felt particularly aligned with what we're doing on the show here today. So I'd like to explain that.
Great. Oh, anything else? Because you're always doing something.
Oh, great. There's much more. I think that would be a great next step to connect in.
Great. All right, good. So kamarihealing.com/Aruna. Remember that.
Yeah.
That's the way to be. Kamari,
there are retreats
thank you.
Coming up. There's getting healing certifications, all sorts of things will be coming soon. But that was the thing that made me think of your audience. Regenerative meditation. Yeah, nice next step.
Wonderful. Definitely falls right in line. I'm just kind of woozy right now.
Are we done? Or I didn't.
We are done. Yeah,
we're done. We're good. Okay.
Thank you to everyone tuning in tonight. Happy 2019. That's a great way to start. We're going to see you again in 2 weeks when Basil Pace will be here, and he. If you remember, he's been with us before. He hasn't been with us for a while, but he's just
He's a phenomenal chiropractor out of New Jersey who does some really fabulous things with physical regeneration. So we're going to talk to him, and we're going to say goodnight to everybody and say see you later. Thanks so much. This has been this is just amazing. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me back.
We're going to have you back again. That's what I was just going to say.
There's
so we're
always
not
more.
Done with you.
Thank you. Wonderful.
All right. Good night.
Good night. Have a great, great 2019, everyone. We like you, too.
All right. Good night.
Take care.
Take care. I don't know why. I'm really having technical difficulty tonight. My music's not even coming on. Okay. I'm going to say goodnight and end it at that. Good night.
Good night, all.